Hello, everybody, and welcome to Show Hoppers Severance Season 1, Episode 3, In Perpetuity. I'm Kurt, joined by my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
I'll try to interrupt you with any... I'll try not to interrupt you with any gas having.
Oh, thank you. So you're not like Mark. And we kind of had that coming. What a jerk thing to do if every time someone gives announcements. I get that it's trying to be funny, but if I was trying to do announcements every day and this comedian's trying to like, I don't know, that'd be so annoying.
Just
I
guess fart heckling, over and over, yeah.
Do they know what heckling is? Or like heckling tactics?
I don't know, but I also, it just doesn't seem like that would be the type of thing that would fly in this office, but whatever.
No, yeah, you can't put post-it notes on your skin. But you can
flatulate during announcements.
We can't control the farting. So,
well, sounded like Mark could control it.
Well, in either case, we're here. Episode 3 of Severance. Let's see. Actually, we're a third of the way through the series now.
Jeepers.
Let's get a temperature check on how we're feeling about it.
Ratings.
Elephant in the room, immediately going to say it. None of their outies met each other that haven't already met. And you said that would be a point deduction from this episode.
I did say that.
So unless I missed something horribly, that's an immediate 9. Immediate top ratings, a 9. I think you would have given this episode a 9 naturally. Pre-deduction, just because I don't think it's as good as last episode. For how you see the episode. I might have accidentally talked
Thanks
about myself
that.
There. Yeah, I might have accidentally slipped up there and then tried to cover it up.
Erasing this number and dropping it by 1.
All right. Okay, you gave it an 8. That's what I'm trying to say. I think you would have given it a 9. You subtracted when you gave it an 8. That's what I think you did.
Okay, and I think that you just gave it a 9. Because you didn't like... Well, you gave last episode a 10, right?
I did.
And you gave the first episode a 9.
I did.
No, I think this is objectively the weakest episode, so I think you probably gave it an 8 as well.
You are correct.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you feel that as well, that it is objectively a weaker episode. It's not
I feel like the series has gotten progressively worse with every episode, but I know you liked the second one more than the first one. I did not. Mm-hmm. So in fact, I think I gave it a 10 when we watched it. I've lowered it to a 9 now, the second episode.
That's so good. Yeah. And you gave the first one a 10.
I did.
Yeah. So I love the first 8. One. Mine's 9, 10, 8. Yeah. I mean, this one's just, I say slow, not as in that slow's bad, but there's just not a lot like happens, even character-wise. It's just what I would expect to happen, right? Like the field trip stuff, I some of it's all right, but it's just really long and drawn out compared to the first two episodes. Like everything I'm learning, seeing, this doesn't feel like that.
It's long and drawn out, and honestly, it doesn't really do a whole lot for anything. I think it was attempting to be really creepy. I did not find the perpetuity swing very creepy.
No, I did. I found it more boring, like a boring.
Me too. I thought it was boring as hell.
I'm like Dylan here.
Yeah, and by the way, the PD stuff is not working for me. They ended last episode with "Oh my God, is PD dead?" and then they ended this episode with "Oh my God, is PD dead?"
But worse now, so. Like, by worse, I mean, like, he's in a worse state.
Confirmed his heart has stopped. But, I mean, so that the PD stuff's not working for me. I think I've had enough of Helly's escape attempts. I think they need to move on from that stuff, too.
I did not mind the Helly escape stuff this episode. That was not... I see that. I can definitely see that, because she's been doing that every episode.
Yeah, it's just every episode Helly tries to escape.
Well, it's just doing different things though, which is actually what I like. I was actually gonna give a little bit of praise as to my immediate thought process when they're like, "Oh, there's note detectors." Is those can't be real. Then they prove that they're real. So I'm like, okay, well, there's note detectors. All right, well, I could beat the note detector, and I like how Helly is trying to beat the note detector in various different ways. Like that, I do.
Yeah, she makes three attempts in this episode. Four,
She tries to swallow the pill. I can think of three. We'll go through the recap and we'll see. So she tries to swallow the pill. She writes on her arms and she does her actual like physical breakout. What's the other one?
Didn't she try to? Oh no, she went right to the bathroom, not to the elevator when she got rejected.
No. Yeah. That okay. was an escape yeah. attempt. That All was just right, her going.
So yeah, right so on. three in this very episode, three attempts.
Yeah, but they're all more creative. Like they're all different attempts, which is what I respect about it, right? Like, I liked that part. Like I actually liked that it's showcasing, like, hey, maybe you thought you could eat something, can't, right? You can't do this, mm-hmm. which further makes me feel like she will come to the point where she will harm herself. I think
but
that
she
might
did.
Happen.
She did harm herself.
You're right. She did gag, but I think purposefully. Like that wasn't. No, she was just trying. She tried to do something and got hurt trying to do it. I think she'll purposely try to harm herself. To teach her Audi a lesson or like to try to get a message to the Audi.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll etch writing into herself, but maybe she'll hurt herself to dissuade her Audi from coming back.
Yeah. So she's being
desperate. That's how it shows to me, right? She desperately wants to get out of here, right? She really does. So
yeah.
That's fine. But she might also crack. And this might be the beginnings. I also see it going the other way, where it's the beginnings of her cracking with how she gets into the break room.
Yeah.
Good place to break is the break room, Mr. Sal.
That's right. They break you. Yes. Here's the other thing I will say is I was really excited in the first episode about all of the like character study they could do with this. And they just haven't. It's been so plot driven since episode one.
I agree.
I don't know. I think I'm not sure I'm going to love this series. So we'll see. Because it seems like, and you know, you and I talk about this all the time, but I am more interested in character development than I am in plot development. And I mean, in a perfect world, I get both in a nice blend. But I feel like the reason this is so popular and everybody loves this show is because it's just plot driven.
But the plot is even like, all right. Here's a shout out to a series we recently just covered that we both loved, Culprits, which is, I would say, very slow at times, similar to this series, although I think it pulls it off a lot better and has pretty good plot and good character development. Recommend it to you listeners. I agree that there's especially in this episode, I think I would disagree in the other episodes, but this is way too much plot and like nothing character-wise.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I really learned. Really what there is that Helly's more desperate to get out, right? That's not even new news.
I think every episode that we come closer and closer to seeing that Irving is, at least on the inside, gay.
Oh yes, I was going to comment on this. Yeah, with him and Burr. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, inside for Burr. I don't know how Burr feels.
Have you noticed it with Milchick too? I don't know why I haven't brought it up because I noticed it in episode one. Like when Milchick comes into the room, he stands up. Like not. I don't think it's a fear thing. I think it's he's trying to impress Milchick because he's got a crush on him. When he does the trust fall in episode two, he goes right to Milchick, right?
Trust Milchick, yes.
so I do think that's been there the whole time, but now it's becoming very clear with Bert that there's something there. So, maybe there's some character development there. Like Dylan has had like no character development at all.
He's funny though. So that's
he's funny, right. I guess. But
they can keep him being the funny guy as long as they do other stuff.
Yeah. Do you also feel like this PD thing is just not? It's just not working for you.
It's not as good as I thought it was going to be. It could definitely go somewhere, but like for this episode, it's not very satisfying because he goes,
"No,
yeah, they did this to me. They helped me get out of they brought me here." I'm saying they because he said they, and he wouldn't specify who, but some organization reintegrated him and say that his sickness will go away, and that's about it. Like I thought this conversation with Mark in the beginning was interesting, actually. Like I liked that, but once he's on his own, I also like when we see his point of view on things, like when it's him flashing into the offices. I was really hoping we'd see a lot of that, like him in the office, his memories of being in the office, whether it's pre or post integration, and he's kind of being sneaky about it. Like it looks like we see a part where after he gets integrated or reintegrated, but he's still working at the office, so he's no longer severed. Like, that was a cool thing to see. I liked that. But him running around outside, even him hiding from his self-egg, none of that was particularly interesting to me.
No. Yeah, and that's what I mean by plot-driven. It's like everything with Petey in this episode was just, like, not even plot so much as just his little adventure outside of the office that didn't really do anything for teaching us about where he came from. I know people are going to hate what I'm saying about this episode, but in episode one, Petey approaches Mark, and I think the way he says it is like, if you want to know more, come to, you know, Half Loop Road, where you'll find the beginning of a very long answer, right? Mm-hmm. But Petey didn't have any answers.
He might just keep them close to his chest. He's too busy with the reintegration sickness.
It sure doesn't seem that way. It sure seems like he has no idea about any of it. It's just, and that's frustrating to me.
He sounds conspiratorial. Like, I just think he's struggling to put his words together because he says bits and pieces to Mark. Like, he'll go, but I feel like he has enough wherewithal to convey more, like you're saying, or he really just doesn't know as much. But
you know, I don't think he does. I mean, he says, like, what if you're killing people down there? And Mark's like, are we? And he's like, I don't know. Like,
you're right.
I don't think he knows. Like, what they're doing is wrong. Well, what are they doing? I don't know.
About the one thing. I mean, he cites two examples. The recording of him.
The recording from the break room. Yeah.
And this one's more like, I guess, hearsay. But he talks about how there's people that have to live down there. And then when we see his map, and it has like a written down place where people, I guess, might live. But he doesn't really go into that as to why, what's bad about them always staying down there. I mean, I can presume why it's bad because we've seen the perspective of the office. Him talking to Mark, who doesn't know what it's like in the office whatsoever, he doesn't. So what people live down there? Like, Mark doesn't care. Like, that's not. You got to explain what's wrong with them living down there or what the conditions are more like.
Right.
If there's a problem with staying down there.
Yeah, I don't know. His stuff's just not working for me, and I think when I think back to episode one and all the questions that we raised that I thought would be so interesting to explore. Like, I don't feel like they're exploring much of anything. And even this apartment complex that Mark lives in that we found out is Lumen Housing.
Mm-hmm.
Are there no other Lumen employees that, like, does Bert live there maybe? Like, I'd really like to see somebody else other than Mrs. Selvig, who's not Mrs. Selvig apparently.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see a lot of Mark outside the office this episode.
No, we didn't. We just saw Petey outside the office.
I know. So I'm hoping we get more of the reverse, more Mark outside the office and see if he runs into people. Or, you know, we're getting to the halfway point.
Or other people. I want to know why. Like, I know why Mark chose to do this, right? But we're a third of the way through the season, and I don't know why anybody else has chosen to do this.
So I am so curious about Irving. Because my big question is, is he gay outside?
I know.
That, right?
That would be very interesting. I hope they get to that.
Yeah, and they've set that up pretty well. I mean, I'll be shocked if we don't get an answer on that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
If we don't see Irving, his outside self, that will really anger me. But
yeah,
assuming we will.
Yeah.
I hope.
I hope so too, because that's the type of stuff that I've been really interested in. Why does somebody put themselves through this? And then when you mix that in with the plot of the Audi figuring it out, or I guess the Innie figuring it out, or whoever figures it out, like, or conspiring with each other, like, that could be the magic. And I hope that they get there. I'm not worried.
Worried because there's still six more episodes. They haven't like killed any ideas. It's not like they've jumped the shark or anything like this.
Right.
Everything's still where it is. But
yeah. Hopefully. But I'll tell you what, this episode, I did watch it twice, and admittedly, I was a little distracted the first time that I watched it, so I didn't get the full impact of it, and I didn't love it, but I thought, this is pretty good. I think I had it at a 9 at that point, but I tried to rewatch it, and I it took me like 3 different tries to rewatch it because I kept falling asleep. Like, it's just like, and I think a very patient watcher of television and movies. Like, I mean, some of my favorite scenes are very slow. I fall asleep during the action sequences. For more on that, listen to our coverage of Culprits. Like, it's not the Culprits put me to sleep.
No, it did it well.
Had me on the edge of my seat the whole time. But like, I usually would like stuff like the perpetuity wing in this episode. I did not like it in this episode.
No, I was not a fan of the perpetuity wing.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So look, I also had a lot of trouble picking a favorite scene in this episode because there's not really much that I like too much in this episode.
Well, let's see if we can figure that out.
Favorite scenes.
I really don't know what to pick for you. So
neither did I.
I think just because you also brought it up, maybe, and I think because you're intrigued by this dynamic, and they did get more into this, which I think you like. It is when our group of employees, the macro data refinement team, run into Optics and Design, and Irving gets to see Bert, and Dylan is livid to see OND. I think that could be your favorite scene. I'll throw it there.
All right. I think your favorite scene is not the labeled break room, but the room where Helly is trying to swallow the homemade pill and Mark intercepts it.
So like the bathroom? Or like not that.
She got the staff room.
I see what you mean. Yeah, the staff room. Yes. All right. No, you got me wrong.
You got me wrong too. Although, whatever. I mean, I don't really love any scene in this episode. So.
I think there's some that are all right, but I that scene I liked that like I could have potentially picked as my favorite. What I ended up going with was the actual break room because I was like, it's cool to. It's a question mark I had as to what happens in the break room, and now I know what happens in the break room. And that I did like that scene because there is the horrific element of the episode to me. Like, I don't think most of this episode had that element. The break room to me did, where I was like, geez, this is like the real cult or I guess brainwashing, gaslighting, whatever.
Well, what is interesting about it is that because these Audis have no communication with their innies, like the employers here can absolutely psychologically abuse the employees.
Oh, and they do. We see Harmony doing it to Mark in this episode where she like throws a mug.
Says
something.
Well, I mean, that's like physical abuse. physical abuse.
That's physical and psychological. Yeah. But I think you can handle it. You're capable.
Yeah, I mean, and they're not like. As far as they know, anyway, they're not unionized. They're not like they don't know about workers' rights or anything like that. Like it's like maybe they do. I don't know, but they can't tell anybody, even if they are being abused. So they take advantage of that, and that was a good illustration of it in the break room.
Yeah. So when Helly goes to the break room, Milchek cares for her gash, and then hooks her up to a lie detector. And makes her read a well-worded apology. It's the same one we heard Petey saying in the recording.
So, was that Petey or was that Mark in the recording? I couldn't really tell.
I just assumed it was Petey, but I'd have to re-listen to it and tell. It's kind of hard because they're very teary-eyed and stuff. And the recording, it's not the best quality of audio.
Right, yes. But, yeah.
And it would make sense to me that it's Petey just because he kept not doing it in a believable way, apparently, in the recording. So that indicates to me that, if he reintegrated, like my assumption is that he reintegrated, brought the recorder in somehow, was recording it.
Yeah. Or stole the recorder that they had right there because they were recording.
That too.
Yeah.
And Which, by the way, that might be something that, can get past the elevator or the detector is a recording. But since he's reintegrated, he understands like how messed up this all is, and he's not actually Ernest. So he was failing the lie detector, and that's why he's like, you know, begging. So that, my thought is that it's PD, but I don't actually know.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, you might be right.
But I like seeing the break from here, and just to keep reading it over and over again. And is she going home for the day? Like, I don't know. I wonder if next episode they're going to come back in the office and she was still there.
Oh, yeah.
With Milchak having to do that.
Yeah, I guess we don't know. I mean, I would assume Milchak wants to go home.
Yeah, but it's part of the job. You got to keep these guys in line.
Yeah, I guess so. From one end or the other. All right, well, that is a decent scene. My favorite scene ended up being something that I feel like is kind of random. Like, I don't think there's any way you're going to guess this. And, like, I probably won't even remember that this was my favorite scene in a couple of weeks. It's when Harmony comes back to the office and Natalie is there waiting for her with the board. So part of what makes this interesting is that Natalie was on TV defending
the severance process. I remember this TV thing, but I didn't realize it was Natalie.
Yeah, so from earlier in the episode, Mark had fallen asleep kind of to Natalie talking about why the severance procedure is a good thing and why Lumen is good for everybody. And they had like a counterpoint person who was very much in disagreement with that. But here she is, Harmony. And so apparently she's kind of a PR type person for Lumen, but also, I guess, kind of connected to the board because she's here representing the board. The board is in the meeting, although they're not contributing vocally to the meeting.
Yes, of course.
So, but she just says she's here to see Harmony about Peter. Petey, I guess. The board is listening, and they kind of speak through Natalie, but they don't actually say anything directly to Harmony. And they don't say anything at first. They wait for Harmony to start. And Harmony says, you know, the search for Petey's ongoing. But she saw signs of reintegration, which, of course, they, through Natalie, tell her is not possible. And she's reminded by the board to get those numbers by the deadline in 3 weeks, but that they're gone. So what I liked about this scene is, first of all, the Natalie character is interesting to me. But secondly, especially like she's very creepy. She just like kind of has this really like almost plastic smile.
Yeah, it's so unauthentically nice.
But what I loved about the scene most was seeing Harmony back on her heels.
Oh, the gaslight. Yes.
Who do you think is gaslighting who here?
I think the board is gaslighting Harmony. She gives an observation. Here's what I saw.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, no, that's not possible. Very similar to Chernobyl, which we covered.
Yeah. I suppose if they believe that it actually is possible, but I'm not sure that they do. I mean, Petey's going around saying he's the first one.
I mean, that's fair if they think it's not possible, but like, it's still her observation. I don't know. It's still, there's a lot of moments like that in Chernobyl, but and I'm sure there's a similar one to this, where it's just, she's just trying to state her observation, right? Like, I'm pretty sure it seemed like he's reintegrated. And they're like, not possible. No.
Yep. You're right. Impossible. You're right. Yeah. That's the whole.
And then
Birkinov. I think it was Birkinov.
Birkinov
was one of them. Yeah.
Dyatlov did it too.
Dyatlov.
Look at our listeners.
Chernobyl's a great series. It's only 5 episodes too. It's so good. That's part, the big part that I like about it is, first of all, the gaslighting. But second of all, just seeing Harmony, who seems like, who has up to this point, I should say, seemed like the heavy, like the big bad of the series, right? Seeing that she is also squeezed and pressured from higher ups even than her, right?
She's just middle management here.
Right. She's got to get these numbers. What happens to her if she doesn't get these numbers? She's not severed, so she knows what's going on inside and out. But what happens to her if she doesn't meet her quota? So
we sever her.
I mean, maybe, who knows? So I did enjoy seeing that, because we've only seen her on the offensive. We haven't seen her on the defensive yet. And so that was interesting.
Yeah, that puts a facet to Harmony that we didn't see beforehand. That's true.
Yeah. So it kind of, I guess, I don't know if it humanizes her a bit, but it certainly gives us an understanding of why she is as Machiavellian and draconian as she is, why she does the things she does to Mark, and why she's, you know, being so duplicitous with Mark, because she's got to meet this quota, and we don't know what happens to her if she doesn't.
Yeah, no, I would say it humanizes her. I think that's a fair enough thing to say. Like, I don't think she's as evil or bad as I thought she was before.
Right.
So, all right. Well, I think that's a good favorite scene. I would not have guessed that, but that's a good pick.
Thank you.
So, all right. Well, then, you want to do the hit game show?
The hit game show.
Who said it?
I have three quotes, 3 points, 3 opportunities for you, Mr. Sal.
I like opportunities. I like groups of three as well.
Oh, 3-3-3. So which one to start first?
That was groups. Yeah, three groups of three, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Nah, look at the Star Wars trilogy.
Okay.
The funniest.
We just had this conversation the other day about how there's no true trilogies out there anymore.
Well, a trilogy of trilogies. Mr. Sal, though, points wise, do you want the easiest, medium, or the hardest quote?
You ask me this all the time. I always tell you the same thing. Easy first, hard last.
All right. Then we'll start with the easiest first.
Good.
First quote. Hate department like us, got to keep our synergy up.
I don't know her name. But
do
it's
say
Bert's,
her name.
It's no, I know they do. Cecilia.
Is that your final answer?
No, that's
well, it's I need Bert's, a final answer.
It's Bert's subordinate. So
invalid.
Optics and you usually let me define people relative to other people.
If we don't have their name, I do.
Come on, man. I don't know her name. Cecilia. To Bert, no, not to Bert, to Dylan and the gang, because they're coming from the egg drop challenge room, team building.
Spot on, Mr. Sal.
Is it Cecilia?
No, except for the name. It's Felicia.
Felicia?
Yeah, Felicia.
Okay.
So that's only a third credit.
A third? Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
All right,
it's got to be full credit.
You get full credit for that?
Right,
someone
absolutely.
Just got the, like one little part of it wrong. Okay, all right, then sure, I'll give you full credit. So be it. But yes, you're right. So when they're on their way, I call this the whole field trip. By the way, them going to the the perpetuity room. This is the field trip. So they're on their way. Irving, still eager as can be, they run into optics and design. Irving, we already kind of talked about this. Likes Bert. It looks like he really likes Bert.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan despises O&D. We'll hear more about that later, but yeah, he's not a big fan of them. And they are coming back from their team building exercise of the egg drop.
Yes.
Tight department they are.
Tight department. Very tight.
All right. You sound like Tuco there. <It's very good.
laughs> Tight as tight.
Yeah. Breaking Bad. We did last season Better Call Saul. Check out the back catalog. Okay, 2 more quotes then. You want the medium quote then?
Yes, of course.
Okay, we'll do this one then. Salutations.
Oh, salutations. It's my favorite scene. It's Harmony.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
yes. Oh, that's pretty funny too. Salutations. No response.
Salutations.
Well, first she's awkwardly quiet. You have to talk first, Harmony. Oh yes, of course. Salutations.
That was bold. That was bold of you to pick that quote. How did you know I wasn't going to use that in my opening?
I was scared you wouldn't. And then I had a backup quote in case you did, but I got to use
Okay,
it now.
Good.
Or it's for the same scene. Whatever. Okay, last one here. Arguably the hardest one, arguably not. Whichever. No, none of us can know that.
Oh, it's... shoot, it's either Dylan or Irving. They're talking about the muscle shows. Which one says it to the other?
Well, maybe
though?
You could say Mark's subordinate. Oh, see where the road's heading? This is why we have to dock points for names.
I think there's a big difference between Dylan and Felicia.
I know,
Felicia.
There it is. You also know the names, too. You just don't know which one said it.
Yes. Oh, man. Dylan or Irving. I think it's Dylan to Irving talking about how much money is made on muscle shows.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes.
Yeah.
Also funny. I picked comedic elements of this episode.
Yeah. Yes, that was pretty funny. Yeah. That was entertaining.
Yeah, you know, how much do you think they pay? What are the pay skills? Irving's pretty spot on, right? Based on gold, silver, bronze. But Dylan thinks he's dead rock. It's based on best muscle. The best bicep, best deltoid. Then they start arguing.
$25, $50. Biceps are worth more.
I love what a cool conversation. And meanwhile, this is when Helly tries to swallow the note idea, but Mark intercepts that idea before she can go through with it, because the detectors get that too. So
I did like the way he approached this too. He was like, you know, I want, if that ever happens to you, not that I'm saying it would, but you know, if you ever find this information useful, I would say, you know, be as honest as possible, because you know, it's helpful to Milchick to know which end to start from. He's the one who has to extract the note
from you, if you hypothetically did that,
right?
Yeah, it's not very accusatory. I mean, it slowly becomes more and more accusatory.
right.
Oh, good job, Mr. Sal. 3 for 3.
Hey, thanks. Thank
although,
you.
You know, there's an asterisk there.
No, 3 for 3. There's no although.
Oh, there's an asterisk. I would put a warning on there at the very least. Yeah. Cross out Sylvia.
You picked the only line that she has said in 3 episodes. We meet her for the first time, and you picked her only line.
You know Natalie's name.
I do know Natalie's name. She's in my favorite scene. I know. I made it a point. Harmony came into the room and said, "Natalie," and she said, "Harmony." They were both so fake saccharine.
Saccharine mean?
Like sweet, like not a good sweet though.
Terrible. Is that are you saying a controversial thing, or does everyone agree that saccharine is not a good sweet?
No, I mean that's the way that term is.
All right,
used.
Okay, all right. Now the more you are. Well, good job on the who said it part. I'll have to make next episode harder.
Thank you.
I'll keep it in mind.
That was pretty hard already.
You felt that was pretty hard?
I thought it was pretty hard.
Salutations, I thought, was a layup. I do think the muscle show one, no, none of us can know that, is the... I think that one's pretty hard.
Yeah.
We'll have to see for next week. But let's move on to the recap. So we start off with what is arguably the best part of the episode, which is early eating when Mark's still home.
Best part of the outside stuff, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, that's true. Well, best part of the PD stuff in this episode.
I guess so. I was a little miffed by it, though, because PD's just okay. Like, it was... This kind of pissed me off, actually, because the last episode ended with him like either catatonic or dead in the shower, and now he's just, hey, how's it going, Mark? Like, now he's just fine.
That's reintegration sickness, or Sal. You're not being very, you know, understanding. He goes through it, all right, but he'll get better.
Well, we've seen reintegration sickness. It's where he like starts crying, Like, this was like, I thought he was dead. And nope, he's fine. And then they do it again at the end of this episode. So no, this kind of pissed me off.
Well, you know what? He's very paranoid that he's going to be found. But yeah, rest assured. Mark rest assured him that he will be safe. Only Miss Selvig's nearby. She's the neighbor, but
all, yeah, she's all nothing is well. To worry about.
So we see Petey's perspective, which is really cool. I wish we saw more of this in the episode. Like, this was really cool to me. It was seeing him back at work, Irving, you know, speaking, talks to Dylan, mentions Sunset Park, which I don't really know what the relevance in that is. I don't know if that will end up mattering. I don't know if that's where he, like, actually lives.
I thought that was just like the name of a file.
That's true. That could very well be, because he has Dylan saying it in the office, but I don't know if, like, yeah, Dylan actually said that, or if he's confusing, like, timelines because he's disoriented. But in either case, he snaps back, he's disoriented, and we get the cool, very weird introduction, which I will say, yeah, every time it comes up, because it is. I actually watch this. I don't watch all the intros all the way through. I watch this intro, yeah, all the way through.
It's interesting. It's good.
We see Miss Selva drinking some milk, observing Mark's house, just checking it out, seeing what's going on. Petey tries to explain his sickness to Mark.
Look, some people settle in and watch Severance.
Some people watch the neighbor with a glass of milk. To each be their own. Petey tries explaining his sickness, that it was explained to him, right? Which is, his relativity's all messed up between his innie and outie, should get better. And they did this to him, whoever they is. And Mark is not very interested in being reintegrated. And we kind of already talked about this part, how Petey tries to somewhat convince him, but doesn't really give any real facts as to why he shouldn't. Just kind of goes, well, you could be killing people. I mean,
right?
Who knows? But he seems to have a flare-up of his reintegration sickness, and thinks he's in Lumen. And even at some point asks, where's June, which is his daughter. So that might be noteworthy. June is his daughter.
Yeah.
Mrs. Selva continues to watch Mark, who then starts to watch TV. Falls asleep watching a TV debate that consists of Natalie about Severance.
Mm-hmm.
Not the show, but the teacher.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But she does talk here about something that you brought up in episode one, a woman who got pregnant at work.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that?
No, actually, I didn't. Wait, what? She did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the things that the other person was saying.
I remember she was roasting the person for their terminology.
Yes, she was. But then it came up from the other person that someone got pregnant at work.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. But see, it's just this little passing thing here, which that would be the most interesting thing in the episode if we got to see it. But anyway.
Well, the next morning, before Mark heads out to work, he checks on Petey. And he kind of explains why he kind of likes the severed process. He lost his wife in a car accident a couple of years ago, so he's not interested in a reintegration. Petey talks about how Mark would come in with red eyes, that they would joke,
yeah,
he had elevator allergy. You carry, yeah, that hurt with you. You carry that hurt with you, even if you don't know where it's from.
So, yeah. But that's an interesting concept.
That is also an interesting concept, too. Yes. We'll see if that gets explored. But Mark goes to work, sees Miss Selvig de-icing her stoop. Like, her. Like, what? What's her game plan here? I don't.
Well, she wants to go in the house as soon as he leaves.
Well, why does she have to be out there de-icing her stoop?
Because maybe, no, you're right.
Maybe she wanted, like, she was looking out the window all night. She wasn't out there all night de-icing the stoop. Maybe she wanted to talk to Mark to see if she could schedule another cookie visit. I don't know.
Cookie visit.
He goes to work. Found out he was out. This was also interesting too. When he comes in, he doesn't realize he missed a day.
That's cool. Yeah,
that was also interesting. So I thought that was cool. And Kelly found the scary numbers for the first time and put in a resignation request. Mark reads his first announcements as department chair. The most important one being Helly's resignation request has already been declined. the fastest turnaround he's seen. So she runs off to the bathroom. Oh, wow. Her Audi must have really not liked her. That must have totally been the case there.
Yeah, definitely.
Meanwhile, Devin and Rickon have a great, amazing, fun time leaving Mark a gift at his doorstep.
So I'll say this. Devin, to me, is a really interesting character. I wish we could have more of her. Rickon is ridiculous, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, especially how she cares for her brother and stuff. So,
yeah,
I mean, we'll definitely. I wonder how much more of them we'll get, and I mean, we'll certainly see more at Devin. How much more?
I hope so.
Who knows? Miss Selvig, I guess I could just say Harmony at this point, decides to be a good neighbor and put the package in the house. And meanwhile, she decides to check around just in case. You never know who could be lurking in your neighbor's house. PD is having reintegration sickness. You know, we see him going back in the office, drawing a map. I meant, what did they say? Playing Sudoku. So he hears that.
He's not really, though.
No, he's not. He's drawing a map. He is drawing a map. But yeah, he goes and hides from Harmony and then slips outside while she's distracted on the phone. Looks like she's gotten a call about Helly, so heads back to the office. And after she drives off, PD goes for a walk down the street/floor hallway. I'll be in for the remainder of the episode. We then get the scene with Mark going into the bathroom with Helly and telling her that writing on her arms will also not work. So better wipe that off before Mr. Grainer brings the bad soap.
Oof.
There is bad soap.
That sounds horrible.
That is pretty bad. Irving was listening into all this. And first of all, he's kind of stressed that Mark is having such a high stress exchange fresh off a bout of food poisoning. That is number one.
Be wary.
Number two, what about the perpetuity wink? Helly would love the perpetuity wink. Right. It could knock some sense into her, get a deeper meaning of what's going on. That looks like.
So I do like this bit from Irving about how people do derive meaning from their job. Not everyone, but people do. And I think that matters.
I think it matters especially here.
It does.
Where you don't have your own self to have any sort of meaning else from, right? You have to derive meaning from your job. Otherwise, what other meaning do you have almost?
Exactly. So I like that Irving pushes this agenda throughout this episode that we have to help her find meaning in what she does. And clearly Irving has found meaning in what he does. But what they do is so abstract. So you can see why it would be very difficult to find meaning in it. So you can see why the perpetuity wing would exist. I don't know how to find meaning in that, but whatever.
Well, ask Irving. He loves that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Harmony brings the package that Rickon left. Milchuk. It is Rickon's fifth book, and he will be reading through it to check it out.
It is called The UUR, which is a title that we'll become familiar with. Did you know that's the title of the next episode?
No, I did not know it's the title of the next episode.
That's the title of the next episode.
UUR. It's all actually that's because I know the title of the finale.
The Wee We Are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mark talks to Harmony about going to the perpetuity wing, but he didn't fill out the proper reservation slip, and he kind of admits about how things are odd without, as he puts it, the tone setter Petey. So Harmony's not in the mood for this. Throws a mug at him. Yeah, but you're strong. I knew you could handle the mug throw. You know, you can grow from this, or I forget what she says exactly, but something that's abusive in a way.
Yeah, what I just did was something that I knew you could handle and grow from. It was very painful for me. I hope that you'll let it help you. That is like the exact language of abuse.
Bad. And he leaves the door both opened and closed. A weird superposition state. We then get to the scenes that I already covered and one of your favorite scenes, which is Muscle. Hey, plus Helly trying to swallow the note. They start the field trip and run into O and D. And then we see Harmony meeting with Natalie and having her meeting with the board. So after her meeting with the board, we get to see the field trip underway, and we hear kind of, well, not kind of, a reason why Dylan does not like O&D, right? He's convinced that there was a coup attempt from Optics and Design. Ergo, that is why the departments are now spread out and why there's only two of them.
Yeah.
Keep them in check.
He also says something about how data refiners are like, I don't remember the characteristics that he named.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But
it was very like,
do you remember what they were?
No, it was like clever and smart. It reminded me of Harry Potter houses.
It did. Yes. So anyway, they must have been told these adjectives by someone. They didn't learn them. So that when the data refiners must have been told, oh, you're a data refiner because you're clever, or whatever the adjective was that they used. I'm going to say clever. I think it was clever. But
I think you're right.
So now I'm wondering, is everyone told that they are in that department because they are clever and the other departments are full of, let's say, malice, because that's one of Egan's favorite or four tenets or tempers of the human soul.
That's not a bad shout. I mean, humans like factionalism. We like to group up, kind of, and
mm-hmm.
think of ourselves in a group and like root for groups and boo groups, just, you know, like nations and sports and a bunch of other stuff in humanity. So I wonder if like they do that to them to get them to kind of like work together better. If like it's you against the other departments, not exactly, they don't pitch you against them, but just don't worry about the other departments, just do your stuff, guys. Those guys
right
are beneath you,
right?
They're terrible. You just do your own stuff,
right? Yeah, and certainly that's what I'm talking about. But I also mean this to be indicative of giving them some kind of pride that they are special, like that you've been chosen for this is because you're uniquely qualified to do this.
Yeah, no Optics and Design person could be doing what you're doing.
Exactly. But of course, they've been able, or they've been told the same thing.
Yeah, just No macro data refinement person could be doing Optics and Design, Bert. You're the guy for this. And then they arrive at the perpetuity room, which just displays like all the past Egan CEOs of Lumen. We see Petey on his walk, bleeding, and then we see them going through the perpetuity wing, which is seeing, you know, whatever the history. I don't think we care too much for it. Also, I think the only thing about it,
well, just a couple of things. At one point, I think it's Egan who is, oh no, I think it's Keir Egan who is quoted as saying that he has identified four tempers of the human soul. Mm-hmm. They are woe, frolic, dread, and malice.
Yes.
Okay. So, which is interesting. Those are pretty basic emotions that have been given fancy names. I mean, basically, he's saying sadness, joy, fear, and anger, or ill intent. Did you notice that one of the CEOs was named Pip? So remember Pips from episode one, the restaurant?
Oh.
Yeah.
Where you go? Yep. So is that why they gave the gift card there?
I would assume so. I assume that's the Pip that they're talking about. I did like this line that Irving says to Helly when Helly is lamenting the fact that she can't remember her own history. Irving says it's an unnatural state for one to have no history. History makes us something, gives us a context, a shape. So I did like that a lot.
That's where Irving derives his meaning.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he goes to the mouth wall and shows that off.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is interesting. We have learned that Irving derives his meaning from the job based on this, based on history. Dylan derives meaning from the job based on the incentive structure.
Yes. Yes. Like the performance.
Yes. Yes.
Out of that.
Yeah. It seems like Mark used to derive meaning from his job by his friendship with Petey, but he doesn't have that anymore. So that is interesting to see.
What will happen? Well, how will he fare? While they're on this tour, there's a replica of Keir Regan's house.
Yeah.
Or they just moved it there.
Yeah.
They go to his bedroom And Irving felt like Mark was almost going to sit on the bed, which, I mean, I can see how he felt that. He did, like, I, like, rewound it a few times and looked at it. And, yeah, I mean, he was stepping towards the bed in a very sitting way.
Yes.
So, but he also notices something in his pocket, which, by the way, kind of out of line. But I guess they work in a company, but he just grabs something out of Mark's pocket. What's this? And it's a bingo card, and this makes him livid. You know, altering the founder's message or corrupting Helly, like this. He's very upset by this. This means a lot to him. And during all this, Helly runs away. So Mark gives chase. Anything else about the perpetuity room?
No, I'm good.
Well, then she runs away. She has a note that reads, "Never come back here." She breaks the window in the stairwell with like a fire extinguisher. And sticks her hand out, tries to get like her body or head out so that way she'll go back to her Audi and hopefully read the message. But Mark comes and yanks her back in time. She gets a gash, and Mr. Grainer comes to take her to the break room.
Yes.
Mark is not taking the fall for her this time.
Nope.
So something else I wonder is when Mark went to the break room last episode, does he have to read this? And like,
I assume so.
And if he does, I wonder if he reads it first try. Like, you know, once you're just kind of in with it,
he might
sit down, read it, and then like, good job, meant that. Like all the, because it looks like all this is really testing for is to make sure you're still loyal to them.
Yeah.
And if you're not, make you loyal by reading it over and over again until you truly, truly mean it.
Oh man.
So she goes through the break room. That's the end we see of her for the day. So curious to see next episode, Helly's state and how that's done for her. But at the end of this workday, Dylan heads out, leaving Mark all alone. He starts putting in the new group photos and he finds Petey's OG map that he left for him in there. I didn't look too hardly at the map, but there's like a mind spot in a place where people might be living. Like outlined, there's like other stuff, but nothing I think's as noteworthy as those two.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I couldn't really make much sense of it. I did know as soon as he started putting the pictures in the back and they showed the second one, I was like, oh, they're gonna show each one. Oh, the map's in one of these.
Oh, Mark didn't know that.
Well, because Mark doesn't remember Petey saying on the outside that I left a map for you on the inside.
This was also kind of funny. I thought about making this one of the lines too, which is Petey's inside a convenience store, very bloody, and he's seeking tokens for a meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he sadly collapses.
I can't get food without tokens. I have no tokens.
No tokens. Yeah, collapses, and Mark leaves work for the day, goes home, sees Petey's not in the basement, so he goes searching for him in his car. Sees an ambulance.
Well, before he does that though, he like resets the basement so that it doesn't look like anybody was there.
He does that afterward.
You're
gonna do it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, sorry.
He leaves, goes, finds him. Well, calls the ambulance, sees him come out of the convenience store, and then he collapses. And it looks like Petey does spot Mark, and he's not breathing. So Mark just heads back to his basement, tries to hide all evidence that he was ever there. But then Petey's phone rings. That is the end of the episode.
Yeah. By the way, Mark never found that book that Rickon left.
No, he didn't. Didn't.
It's also, still... didn't mention this at the time, Rickon is completely 100% wrong here. You leave the book propped against the door so that it falls in when the door opens. Off to the side, you completely overlook it.
I mean, that's true, actually, I guess. Oh, yeah. Fair. But it's a little more hidden if you put it to the side. A porch pirate might take it.
Forgot about Selvig, porch pirates.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't protect against Selvig, but, you know, if someone's coming from an angle, they won't see the package as easily. Harder package to spot, I think.
Okay.
Let's split more hairs than Rickon did about putting the
package. Anyway.
So there you go. That's the episode. Let's see what the people at TV Time felt about it.
Okay.
Ain't no time like a TV time. I think the people at TV Time gave it a 5.
Well, Let's see here. I think they also gave it a 5. And now if I can get into TV time, I'll tell you exactly what they gave it. I mean, we could just guess. Like they did. They did give it a 5. 68%.
Ah, look at that. Bad job, TV time. Should have given it a 4. And character...
0% on a 1 and only 1% on a 2.
Oh, they love it. A fear into Mr. Sal's soul.
I guess so.
Well, actually, if it makes you feel any better, this is the lowest episode so far on IMDb. But not by much.
It does. I did see that, yeah.
All right. I think this next, or the characters, they said Mark. And you said Mark.
And you said Mark.
Wrong. Oh, you said Irving, didn't you?
Nope.
Really?
I said Harmony.
That's a good pick too, actually.
Thank you. People did say Mark.
What percent?
You said Irving?
I said Irving. Oh, I'm part of the Irving fan club. I'm a big fan of Irving.
Yeah, I like Irving a lot too.
I like how into his job he is.
Yes. And his coworkers.
Ah, potential.
Yeah, so I said Harmony, you said Irving. The people did say Mark, but only 51%.
Okay, good. Well, second place.
Helly, 45%. Which actually is not a, I mean, if you were into all the escape attempts, I guess Helly is a reasonable pick.
Yeah, no, that's fair, I guess. But yeah, I like Harmony. Harmony's a good pick. We learn, arguably, most we learn about a character is Harmony in this episode. But also, yeah, you could say Irving as well, because we learn where he kind of derives pleasure and how he works. And
right.
As well. So, all right. Well, yeah. I guess I'll rate y'all people at TV time. Should have rated it lower, but well, we'll see. We'll see how next episode goes. Hopefully, it'll be better. It could be. Listen, this is this great, great, critically acclaimed series. Next week's episode, episode 4, The UUR. You heard that right, listeners? The U, you are.
The, you not do? The letters. Y-O-U.
Yes, the A-R-E. Y-O-U-R. A-R-E, yes. It's a confusing title. We'll see that.
It is.
But in the meantime, please check out our back catalog. We didn't even reference that much this episode. I guess I'll throw out there more recently things we've covered. Or like Shrinking, Bodies, Murder at the End of the World, Darful Dodger. We're covering the regime right now. We're nearing the end of that, so check that out. And you can also, you know, review the podcast, share it. We appreciate all that. If you want to contact us, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with episode 4 of Severance. And thank you for listening. Salutations.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.